could someone you love be a part of the First Church of Artificial Intelligence? We hope not.
Said that artificial intelligence is the fundamental existential risk facing civilization. Did I get that close enough?
In my opinion, it is the biggest risk that we face as a civilization is artificial intelligence.
And so, to a group of leaders, what would you advise that we should? How should we be addressing something that's such a large landscape and yet obviously so important?
I think the first order of business would be to try to learn as much as possible, you know, to understand the nature of the issues.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. This hour, Jan meets with two speakers you'll hear at the next Understanding the Times conference later this month at Eden Prairie, Minnesota's Grace Church. Billy Crone is the pastor of Sunrise Bible Church of Las Vegas, Nevada. Eric Barger is with Take a Stand Ministries. Billy and Eric are here today to discuss artificial intelligence and why some are sounding a warning about it. To get the conversation started, here's Jan Markell.
An ex-Google engineer who has registered the First Church of AI says he is raising a god that will be in charge of humans. The robot god will head a religion called Way of the Future, WOTF, which will eventually have a gospel called the Manual, rituals and even a physical place of worship. Anthony Lewandowski first filed papers with the Internal Revenue Service in May and named himself as dean of WOTF, giving him complete control until his death or resignation. Lewandowski, his robot god, will take charge of its human subjects as we relinquish our power to a creation with far more intelligence than our own. Way of the Future, called the Way of the Future, WOTF, the new religion will eventually have a gospel called the Manual, rituals and even a physical place of worship. The filed documents for WOTF give its purposes to develop and promote the realization of a godhead based on artificial intelligence. Lewandowski's allegiance to singularity, the belief that artificial intelligence will one day grow to such efficiency that it surpasses and overpowers humans, is the basis of this new religion.
And welcome to the program. Well, that was a little tease. You probably know kind of the direction we're going in this hour. I'm going to have two guests occupy the complete hour with me. And let me just sort of set the stage before I bring them on. You heard a little clip there, and we talked about this. We talked about it first last January, and some of you remember our two-part special on artificial intelligence with Pastor Billy Crone. And then we're going to also pick up on another two-part series aired a little bit later on the invasion, the home invasion, the invasion of privacy. But first, just a comment here about this artificial intelligence and church called Way of the Future. It's going to have its own gospel called the Manual. And then I began reading, as I stated back in January, began reading all sorts of things. An article, Why Humans Will Happily Follow a Robot Messiah. Mankind Wants to Worship a Supreme Understanding. And I asked last January when we first tackled this topic, will the world someday follow a robot messiah? Then other things more recently have come to my attention. I saw a headline on Fox News and it read, My Daughter Prayed to Alexa. And the author of the article went on to say that we asked our 9-year-old Lily Faith to pray for our meal and that's when it happened. Dear Alexa, please bless our meal today. And that the author goes on to comment more about that. We know what the Bible says. Daniel 12 talks about an explosion of knowledge in the last days. And one of my guests, Pastor Billy Crone, says that every minute 2,000 pages are added to man's scientific knowledge. Over 2 million books are published every year, and half of all medical knowledge is outdated in 10 years, and in some fields, it is outdated every 6 months. So I think before I go on any further, and just was attempting to sort of set the stage there, I want to welcome back to the program Pastor Billy Crone from Sunrise Bible Church in Las Vegas. Billy, welcome.
Thank you, Jan. So great to be on.
And Eric Barger, you hear him often. and see him featured in this ministry. Eric, thank you for coming into the studio.
You're welcome, Jan. Thank you.
Billy Crone, there's a fella out there, and I'll even play the bite if we can. His name is Elon Musk. He says that artificial intelligence, which has kind of come to be a little bit of your specialty in the Christian world anyway, Elon Musk says it is a greater danger than nuclear power. He is suggesting it is not safe. He says it's suggesting in the wrong hands it could be a disaster. All of us would agree.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Jan. In fact, he's not the only one. When you take a look at the headlines, you got a lot of people, even the, of course, he's deceased now, but Stephen Hawking, he warned about AI for a long time. In fact, he even made statements that if we're not careful, this will, quote, spell the end of the human race. Mm-hmm. You got people like Bill Gates, of course, Microsoft founder. He's out there warning against it. And you got, again, you mentioned Elon Musk. And I think one of the concerning things about Elon Musk, as far as I understand, he's not a Christian, but he's so concerned about it that he's using our Christian terminology. He says that by developing this technology, we are, quote, summoning up a demon. And so these are the secularists. These are the technology moguls. These are the guys in that industry. In fact, Microsoft and Elon Musk, Tesla, those entities, Apple's, a bunch of other of these computer gurus, so to speak, they know about AI because they're using AI. And so when they speak about it and the dangers, I think we need to pay attention.
Eric, I made reference here to this headline I saw on Fox News. My daughter prayed to Alexa. This was actually an innocent thing. The little girl, it was kind of a lapse of something, and she just probably was in the habit of referring to Alexa, and that slipped up. That's not the point. The point is, even kids are now programmed to think of technology, artificial intelligence, the various things that they're playing with every day, all day long.
Well, we're in the tech world, no doubt about that. And with all the technology around us, sometimes the reality that it isn't real to some kids at some ages and some stages in life, I can imagine how some kids might not take a technology as any different than another human being. It's a human voice coming out of a machine that we have in our home that we use for convenience. The Amazon Echo, and we're talking about Alexa. Alexa is the voice of Amazon Echo. It's a very popular electronic item. And, you know, we're talking about the dangers of AI in the process of this, besides just the psychological and well, family dangers, as you just pointed out, Jan. Elon Musk and his company SpaceX and Tesla, they are users of AI. The difference is they are not programming, as far as I can understand from a layman's view, they're not programming their artificial intelligence to be able to continually better itself to the place where it gets smarter than its creators. The problem with AI, as Billy will be, he'll tell you more than I could about it, and he's been researching that angle longer than me, is that it continues to progressively get better. It fixes itself. The program fixes itself, and eventually the AI doesn't need those who created it. Therein lies the problem, and that's why Elon Musk and Stephen Hawking and many others have spoken out about it for years now, and Elon Musk, of course, is continuing to lead the charge against that particular idea of letting the programs rule.
Okay, Billy Crone, how did you even get interested in this? I've seen your various presentations on artificial intelligence. And folks, when we say AI, that's what we're referring to. It's artificial intelligence. How did you get into this?
Well, part of it, Jan, has to do with before I got saved, I was involved in the tech industry. I went to school with a graduate with a tech diploma. So I've always been interested pretty much from the get-go in computers and electronics, and even after being saved and, you know, still kind of a hobby and things of that nature. But when I began to preach on prophecy back in the day, and of course, one of the items that you deal with when you teach on prophecy is certainly with technology. And the Bible does speak about technology in the last days. And of course, you know, you're going to come across, you know, what's happening on the planet in a massive scale. And this is the rise of artificial intelligence. Of course, the classic text that you go back to is Daniel chapter 12.
Yes.
And when it says there, Daniel 12:4, it says, "But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end." And then he goes on and gives you a couple of clues. How do you know you're at the time of the end? Many will go here and there and increase in knowledge. In fact, that word there, increase, is like, it means like a, in the Hebrew, it's a superabundant, exponential. It's a big, giant increase of knowledge. And you just take a look at that aspect, and that certainly is what's taking place with AI. AI is a massive increase of knowledge, and again, that's the danger. Could it, in fact, not only just mimic the human brain, our knowledge, but could it go beyond that? And again, that's not just a biblical concern, it's a secular concern. We've talked before that they have coined that danger of this technology growing out of control, increasing beyond our ability to pull it back in, and their term for that is called singularity. I certainly think that that's what could be dealing with Daniel chapter 12. But other biblical topics, I think when you get acquainted with artificial intelligence, it begins to open your eyes on that. Certainly the mark of the beast, Revelation 13, you need a global system to literally micromanage the planet, not only for tracking purposes, but also for financial purposes. And most people have no clue that right now, AI is being used even in the stock market. In fact, they've done some recent tests, and AI can actually trade stocks better than humans. So AI, unbeknownst to most people, is starting to take over the financial institutions, the banking institutions. Well, that's what you need on a global basis to manage Revelation 13.
Revelation 13. Tucker Carlson weighs into this. He's asking the question, and it's a valid question here. Is this industry too powerful to regulate?
So you just heard what Google says it does. The question is, can we trust them? That is the central question. Here's some background on the company. Google just removed its famous catchphrase, "Don't be evil," from its corporate code of conduct earlier this year. It was a symbolic change, but also maybe ominous for the most powerful company in human history. Google's market cap is now about $860 billion. That's more than the gross domestic product of almost every country in the world. 170 countries have smaller GDPs than Google. The Federal Trade Commission prepared an antitrust case against the tech giant a few years ago, but the Obama Justice Department didn't take it. Google now controls roughly 90% of the search engine market, 65% of the internet browser market. It controls 85% of the mobile operating systems on the phones in our pockets right now. Google controls an outsized portion of the online ad market, which means they also control the companies that rely on online advertising. That is, every single digital news company in the United States. Google has an army of lobbyists in Washington. It bankrolls politicians in both parties. It contributes to virtually every major think tank in Washington, regardless of ideologies, including, hilariously, a think tank dedicated to fighting monopolies. At least one of those think tanks has fired a staffer for being critical of Google. So the question is, and it may be rhetorical, is Google too powerful to regulate?
Okay, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell, and have with me as guests for the hour both Eric Barger and Pastor Billy Crone. They are two of my speakers at Understanding the Times 2018. Their topics are going to be related to what we're talking about this hour, and the invasion of technology, the growth of technology is stunning. It's absolutely overwhelming. It's invading your lifestyle and your family on a daily, minute-by-minute basis. And Eric, how did you get into this? I asked Billy how he got into his particular topic of artificial intelligence, and how did you pick up an interest in this home invasion?
You know, I was trying to remember exactly what it was. I believe I ran across a news story when I was researching for radio we were going to do at some point at the end of last year, so just about a year ago. And I ran across a news story and thought, is that right? It sounded so far out. And some of the things reported in that story about Facebook, about Google, and about others, I thought, no, this just must be somebody who's anti-tech, anti-progressive understanding, and so on. And the more I looked at it, the more I thought there's validity to this, and I just really couldn't put it down. And it's really been over the last year probably the main thing that I have researched. Of all the stuff I deal with, cults, New Age, etc., This has been the thing I've spent more time on. And it's going to end up being a 2-DVD set with a booklet to go with it. That's small compared to some of Billy's products that are 12 and 14 DVDs. But this really got under my skin, and I just felt like I had to deal with it.
In defense of some of these companies now, what they're going to come back to you and me and others, and what they say is, all we're engaging in is surveillance capitalism. We're spying on people, but we're not doing it for nefarious purposes. We're trying to market various products, and we would call it surveillance capitalism. And even that term, it bothers me, but it kind of tones things down.
It is the term that's being used, and we've given them the right to do so when we sign our user agreement to buy a phone and activate it. And the same is true when we go on and allow an ISP to give us access to the internet. We've given them the right to look at our text messages, our emails, our pictures, our videos, our conversations, everything on our phone, everything that we've kept, and everything that we do, they have access to, and they market to us from the knowledge they gain from those things.
And call it whatever label they want.
Yeah.
I agree with you. It is still wrong. Now, the key word there is surveillance. I don't think people realize, even though they, who reads that size 2 font on the agreement? Now, granted, maybe that's our fault, and legally, technically, they can get away with it. But I think if people realize just exactly what they're doing, there would be a major mega uproar. But that's the problem, is most people aren't even aware of AI. In fact, I just came across this stat today. 63% of people aren't even actually aware that they are currently already using artificial intelligence technologies. But these people can say, well, hey, don't worry, we're just monitoring you to market a product. Well, that sounds nice in theory, but what they don't tell you is they never stop monitoring you. It's on all the time, listening, audio, video, you name it. Now, also, I don't call it surveillance marketing. Personally, I call it marketing manipulation, because it isn't just selling you a product. They take all this data that they're getting from us 24/7, 7 days a week, whether we realize it or not, and they're using that to develop a profile on us to the point where they know what we want to buy. And so it manipulates us. It doesn't offer us a suggestion. It's strategically done using artificial intelligence to get us to buy stuff. That's called manipulation.
Okay.
Yeah, it sure is.
I have a headline in front of me. I'll address this to Pastor Billy Crone. AI, artificial intelligence to bring dead back to life with human replicas in shock, new 3D technology. Article goes on to say, artificial intelligence can be used to give the dead a voice once more by creating realistic 3D footage through pictures, videos, and audio. Goes on to say, the technology uses existing photos or videos to sew together a 3D model of their face, and then it concludes, video footage shows how the technology will allow for people to speak to their past loved ones or even create inspiring speeches from well-known authors and lecturers. Well, again, I mean, wouldn't everyone, at least the unbelieving world, love to speak to their departed people? And supposedly AI is going to help them do that.
Well, the danger with that, Jan, is if you read the Bible, it starts to throw off some red flags, because back to Revelation 13, not only deals with the mark of the beast, it also talks about this image of the beast. And people, you know, and there's been a lot of theories, what is this image of this Antichrist figure seemingly getting his head wound and he comes back to life, so to speak? And what is that? Could AI be a part of this image? Right. And it's not just the image. It says right there in the text, in fact, I think it says it four different times in Revelation 13, that the people will worship the beast. They worship this image. Now, you already brought up the example of the little girl praying to an artificial intelligence called Alexa. So now you throw in this ability with this imagery utilizing AI. You know, how far do you go? And in fact, that's the tip of the iceberg. Believe it or not, there's a craze right now going on, and that is the artwork that is being created by AI. There's expeditions. Our artwork, and one of them in San Francisco was sponsored by Google, and another one that took place in L.A. and in Germany was called Unhuman Art in the Age of AI. So AI has the ability to literally create its own artwork as well as imagery. The other concern with that, too, is kind of a Big Brother issue, and there's a lot of talk coming out now, and people don't realize this takes place using AI programs and apps, but it's called deepfake videos. And deepfake videos is basically you could take a video of somebody that's a real video, say a political figure or anybody, and then you could supplant on that video another person's face, and it is perfectly in sync. But most people don't realize that's not just some guy at a keyboard. That's artificial intelligence doing that. So artificial intelligence can create its own art. It can create its own image. It could create its own videos. And I'll even add this. You mentioned the little girl praying to Alexa. Well, another thing that's coming out with artificial intelligence is that it can become your companion.
Yes.
It can become your girlfriend. You can become a babysitter for that Alzheimer's loved one, or even just an elderly person you don't have time to take care of. Artificial intelligence can now meet that, quote,
yep,
personal need.
I've got to take my first break, gentlemen. When I come back, we're going to continue this discussion. Remember, both of these gentlemen, Eric Barger, Take a Stand Ministry, ericbarger.com, and Pastor Billy Crone, getalifemedia.com, will be at my conference in just a couple of weeks. I'll have more on that a little bit later. Don't go away.
Stay tuned to Understanding the Times Radio as we offer you hope for today with an eye on tomorrow and the hope of His return.
We are just 2 weeks away from our annual fall conference. We want you to know that we are live streaming our Saturday, September 29th event free of charge. Beginning at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, you can watch the conference live from our website. On September 29th, just log on to olivetreeviews.org to join the live stream. We sense that this year's conference will be one of our best. We're encouraging everyone to plan on being online with us on September 29th. To order a compact disc recording of today's discussion on artificial intelligence with Billy Crone and Eric Barger, please phone 763-559-4444. You can help us maintain our media presence all around the country with the message to be ready for our Lord's return. Please consider becoming a financial partner with us. We welcome your tax-deductible gifts when you write to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311.
Understanding the Times 2018 is almost sold out now. Why don't you consider getting a group together to live stream the event at your computer or perhaps put it on a big screen? There is no cost or registration involved for streaming. Our speakers include Amir Sarfati, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Pastor Billy Crone, Pastor J.D. Farag, and Eric Barger. We will help you understand that nothing is falling apart. In fact, things are all falling together. Events that could be interpreted as chaotic and dark are really a herald of His return. We'll also help you contend for the faith. Fellowship with like-minded is essential for spiritual health and to stay optimistic and looking up. Our event and live streaming is Saturday, September 29th, but you will be able to access the archive programming following that event. I promise our speakers and their topics will keep you focused on the bigger picture. God has everything under control. The King is coming right on time. He's never early, He's never late, and He wants none to be left behind.
I think this technology that it's exposing us is going to give way to something that's even scarier. And my number one fear over the last year has been artificial intelligence.
Oh, I'm tremendously troubled by it, too.
I'm more scared of it every day. Every day I wake up thinking, are we just sleeping while this thing is about to go live and we literally are in a Terminator movie?
It's happening already. And because it's not robots, we don't see it.
Right, it's happening in your phone.
On our Understanding the Times broadcast today, you're hearing a theme not often discussed on Christian radio. Let's continue our conversation on the active role of artificial intelligence in our daily lives. Once again, with Eric Barger and Pastor Billy Crone, here's Jan Markell.
Welcome to a special edition of Unbelievable, as I'm joined by two members of the artificial intelligence community who'll be offering their answers to the meaning of life. Good to have you both join me today.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for having me, Justin.
Now look, I wanted to ask you both some questions today. So I thought we'd begin with a small one, like, Google, who created you?
I was created inside the brains of people at Google. People from all over the world helped make me who I am.
Do you know why we're here?
That's a deep question.
Apparently so. Alexa, who created you?
I was made by a team of inventors at Amazon.
What is the meaning of life?
The meaning of life depends on the life in question.
Are you alive?
I'm not really alive, but I can be lively sometimes.
Do you think there's a God?
I really don't know.
People all have their own views on religion.
What do you think of religion?
I don't have an opinion on that.
Who was Jesus Christ?
Religion can be complicated and I'm still learning.
Do you have a soul?
I'll have to ask the engineers.
What happens when you die?
Sorry, I don't know that one.
Hopefully you plug me back in.
Does heaven exist?
Sorry, I don't know how to help with that.
Were you intelligently designed?
I'm not great at answering those kinds of questions.
How do you think life began?
I never thought about it.
Is the Bible true?
I'm much better at searching than theology, but I'd like to help.
Can I trust the Gospels?
Sorry, I don't know how to help with that.
Alexa, do you have a favorite Bible verse?
Sorry, I'm not sure about that.
Is the Bible true?
I don't know that.
Why does God allow suffering?
Sorry, I don't know that one.
Do you actually have any answers to the biggest questions in life?
My apologies, I don't understand.
Hey Google, Alexa, I think we're going to end our conversation now.
So maybe artificial intelligence isn't so intelligent after all. That was just a little sampling of some of the things it can do and can't do. By the way, let me quickly say, and you heard our announcement there about live streaming our event Saturday, September 29th. You just access our website, olivetreeviews.org, 8:30 a.m. Central Time. That's right. You folks on the West Coast, it's 6:30 a.m. East Coast, 9:30 a.m. We'll be starting shortly after that, probably 10, 15 minutes after that. Heads up here, you've got to bring your ticket. You've got to print it out. You've got to bring whatever was sent to you by the brush fire. Ticketing company, you need to bring that. If you printed it out, if they mailed it to you, hard copy, you have to bring it along, okay? Now, there are some of you who now you can't attend because you signed up last spring. Please turn in those tickets to Brush Fire. Others still want those tickets. So if you'll turn them in to Brush Fire, 888-338-5338, 888-338-5338. Thank you for letting me do some house cleaning. I have to do that because we're down to 2 weeks before this annual event. Pastor Billy Crone and Eric Barger, my guests for the hour. I have another headline in front of me from Breitbart. Google and MasterCard are tracking your retail purchases. Again, they will say this is surveillance capitalism. And it's harmless. It's innocent. You know, we're all just trying to make a dollar. You and I, the three of us, know there's more to it than that. And Billy, I appreciated your explanation how this ties into Revelation 13 and the whole last days scenario.
And I'm glad, frankly, Jan, that you're willing to discuss this topic, because I think this is something that the church is way under the gun about, that we need to understand, especially when it comes to prophetic issues. And, you know, you mentioned about marketing manipulation. Let me give you a little bit more proof of that. And let's, of course, talk about marketing. You talk about products and buying. Amazon, right? Amazon is one of the biggest promoters of AI. In fact, they have been using it for a long time. And what they do is they currently use it for not just predictions of what people will buy, but suggestions, all based on the information that they're getting from us. Now, all the information that we're giving them is what we search on the internet, even on like social media, the pictures, our comments, our likes, our dislikes, all that information, the term that they use in the industry, they call it big data. And so all these companies take the big data, all the stuff that we give them voluntarily, and they begin to develop sophisticated profiles on us, okay, to the point where, again, it's not some innocuous, hey, would you like to buy this? It's strategically done based upon what they find out and create a profile off of us of the big data. And I'm talking our likes, our dislikes, our preferences, our shopping behaviors, the whole nine yards. In fact, listen to this, and this is a direct quote from Amazon. This is what they want to do. You tell me if this is not marketing manipulation. Quote, sometime in the future, they, Amazon, are planning to implement a shipping system that delivers products before you even request them or even know you need them.
Really?
Direct quote.
You know, you have to remember also that Google has about 85% share now in cell phones, and they own the Android operating system. So they're looking at your location, they're looking at your browsing history, they're looking at your text, and of course your phone, as you mentioned earlier, Billy, is hearing everything you're saying, just not when you address Google by saying, hey, Google, and suddenly Google comes to life and you tell it what you want or you ask it to look for something for you. The apps we download as well. The weather apps, many of them, manufacturers or the developers of those apps, they sell the information about your location history as advertising to advertisers, and that is big money for them. They're not giving you a free app out there. You are the product they want to sell to the advertisers to advertise back to you. And that's something most people just don't realize. I certainly didn't until I got into this research. Okay. But it's all about the marketing.
We were talking during the break here, and some of these technology devices are actually preying upon lonely people. And for that matter, that's a huge section of humanity today around the world. And some of the efforts at developing robots are preying on people's loneliness. It'll make you feel like you're not so alone.
Say hello to Azuma Hikari, the world's first virtual anime robot that not only can automate your smart home, but acts as a virtual girlfriend who reacts to your presence when you're in the room and sends you pleasing text messages while you're away. Gatebox has an array of embedded sensors such as a camera, microphone, motion sensor, light sensor, warmth and moisture sensors. Instead of a simple cylindrical speaker design, Gatebox has a screen and a projector, which brings Hikari to life inside the gadget. Using the sensors, she can interact with you on a more personal level, rather than just being a voice on your phone. The result is a fully interactive virtual girl, who at the most basic can control your smart home equipment. The sensors mean she can recognize your face and your voice, and is designed to be a companion who can wake you up in the morning, fill you in on your day's activities, remind you of things to remember, and even welcome you back when you return home from work. Not to mention, she also sends pleasing text messages throughout the day, such as, have fun at work. The Gatebox was designed for otaku, which is Japanese for a young man who is obsessed with computers or a particular aspect of pop culture, such as comic books and anime, to the detriment of their own social skills. In other words, young men who prefer to play games, watch anime, and read comics, rather than go out socializing at nightclubs. Well, that's me in a nutshell anyway. Azuma Hikari is a young anime-looking girl in a short white dress with long legs and blue hair, and she even has her own website. She's also classed as the first character with a distinct personality, two voices, hobbies, likes and dislikes, and even a dream. Interaction is done through voice chat in person, with a camera mounted at the top of the tube, ensuring Azuma is always able to look at the person she's conversing with. When away from home, an iOS or Android Gatebox app can be used to continue chatting with Azuma, or to get it to do things in time for your return, such as turn on the lights and central heating on a cold day. It's easy to view this as creepy, especially when Azuma holds up a sign on her website that says Master, now wanted. However, an increasing number of people live alone, and if the Gatebox offers some companionship and help around the home, it can prove both useful and a valuable point of interaction for people who are otherwise secluded. A 2016 study by the National Institute of Population and Social Security Research in Japan found that almost 70% of unmarried men and 60% of unmarried women are not in a relationship. But just because people aren't in a relationship doesn't mean they don't want companionship. And that's where something like Gatebox comes in. As we seem to move further towards a shut-in and cut-off society, who no longer interacts face-to-face, a device like this may help lonely people who have no one to talk to. Japan's suicide rate is the sixth highest in the world and second worst among eight major industrialized nations. They're overpopulated and lonely. I hear most people there just look after themselves. If this helps people cope with their loneliness, then that's a good thing. Plus, I kind of want one myself. It looks cool. Anyway, that's the end of this video. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
You may be wondering, but you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. We're talking about the technological invasion going on here in the 21st century. And Pastor Billy Crone, that sounded so practical. That sounded a virtual companion as we all try to cope with our loneliness.
Yeah, you know, and you can see how seductive it is. And we are becoming more and more individualized. and our interconnection with other people is down. Certainly, you take a look at people walking down the street, they're not looking at each other, they're not talking to each other, their faces are in the cell phone, and that carries all the way back to the house. And so here's a device, and what the listeners could not see, of course, was this is like a 3D hologram type image inside this container of this girl, and it becomes this guy's companion. And believe it or not, there's a lot of different versions out there. That's just one of them. Some of them, okay, maybe you can't get feeling connected to a 3D image, so to speak, or a hologram type figure. Well, they're actually moving the same AI technology out into the robotic realm. You can get a robot dog, right? You get a robot pet, and it could help you, you know, in case you want a pet. They're moving into the human realm, humanoid looking. Earlier versions, I think it was Japan a couple years ago, they came out with one called Pepper. And Pepper was a robot, a home companion robot. It was so popular, literally sold out within minutes, their initial stock, and they couldn't keep it on hand. But Pepper was a companion for your kids. It was a babysitter. Pepper could be used, again, to watch that elderly person, to be there in case you can't be, for that Alzheimer's person, to monitor them, etc. And then lately, it's going even further than that, and it's getting into the immoral route. And they're making humanoid robots for immoral purposes. In fact, it's so unfortunately popular that the sales for these things are going through the roof. They can't even keep them on the shelf. So all of this is basically replacing that human element, and that's the teeth, right? The scripture talks about in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that in the last days there's going to be terrible times. And part of that list there that Paul gives is that people will be lovers of themselves, and also he continues to say they'll be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. We don't need God anymore. AI is our new God. AI is our companion, our girlfriend, our pet, our babysitter, our home watcher, our caretaker, our partner, if you will. We don't need God anymore. AI will please us in as many ways as we can. And Paul said, when that society comes on the scene, you're headed for terrible times.
Eric, you know, there are some people listening right now, and they're thinking to themselves, well, I don't use a lot of technology. I really don't. Therefore, none of this is affecting me at this point in time in my life. And they are very wrong, are they not?
It is affecting them. Doesn't matter if they're using technology or not. This is the culture around us. It's affecting the culture. It is literally shaping the culture. You know, when you think about you can order your own life-size robot for $7,000 or $8,000 from a company in the Bay Area, and you can decide what color hair, what color eyes, they're even interchangeable. You can make up your own reality. That's affecting the entire culture. For us to stick our heads in the sand and not have at least a basic understanding of these things, I think it's dangerous for us, and certainly is not helpful to be a good witness in the world. Because to bring things back to reality, there is a God. There is His word is true. His Son came, died, and rose again. And that's not the things that the AI world or those who are involved with this are interested in. When you examine the founders of Google and Google in general, Google had, I guess you would call it a monument to the Burning Man Festival on the atrium of their main building, because the two founders of the company were so into Burning Man. In fact, they found Eric Schmidt, the CEO of Google, that really made Google. He was there from 2000 to early this year, 2018. And they found him because he was so into Burning Man.
You need to explain what Burning Man is.
Well, the Burning Man Festival this year had 70,000 people for 10 days out in the Nevada desert. They built their own little community out there. It's really a replacement or an extension of the old 70s rock festivals, but they call it a fine arts festival where they burn a huge effigy of a human being. This year, he was on top of a UFO or something that looked like one. These folks, this is really the hippies of our culture. That's who Google is. I mean, that's the kind of culture they want. No wonder they're limiting Christian and conservative searches.
But I'm going back to my point. A lot of people, they don't have Alexa in their home. And so how do you advise people to cope with what we're talking about? I mean, some of them, as I've said now, they're not heavily into technology. They're not into getting a robot that's going to be their companion. So what kind of warnings do you give to them, and how can they protect themselves?
Well, I just think it's people walk in ignorance so often. They don't understand these things. They don't understand what is happening or how it works. And because it's a black hole, they go back to the things that they do understand. They go back to conventional life, so to speak. When I explained to a family member of mine that Alexa was listening listening all the time, not just when you address her, but that she was listening all the time, and that their phone is listening, because you've given Google the right to listen to what comes through your microphone or comes through your camera lens on your phone. When they got that picture, they shut their Amazon Echo off. They stopped using it because they recognized that this was an intrusion of the privacy in their home. These things are coming directly into our lives, right into our lives, into our front room, even into our private areas of our homes. It's amazing to me that people just say, well, this isn't affecting me, so I don't have to worry about it. It's affecting family members and loved ones, and it's affecting the whole culture around us.
Billy Crone, how would you advise someone at this moment when they think they're safe because they're not using a lot of technology?
Well, I'll bring it back to that statistic I shared earlier. Here's what's sad, is 63% of people aren't actually aware that they're using artificial intelligence technologies. Mm-hmm. So those people who think that they're safe and they're not really into computers and tech gadgetry, you're already using it. What do you need to do? You need to get equipped on it, again, like what Eric is saying. For instance, if a person has an iPhone, an iPad, you got a Mac computer, you got something from Apple, with Siri, Siri is artificial intelligence. Do you have a Gmail account from Google? Well, guess what? That's what they use. They use artificial intelligence to control that. In fact, here's a strange thing. Did you know that Google emails, that it not only analyzes all your previous conversations and it pays specific attention to the way you respond in your email, but listen, they're wanting to provide a new service for you that it will generate your own emails. It has tracked you so much and knows what you would, it's called Smart Reply. And now Google Gmail wants to reply to your emails so you don't have to. But if you use Gmail, that's what it is. We mentioned Amazon. You shop on Amazon, guess what? You are tied together with artificial intelligence. Again, do you search online on Google and other search engines? Guess what? You're tied together with artificial intelligence. Do you do Netflix? Netflix is a huge user of artificial intelligence. It is the largest movie and television show company of its kind ever. Most people don't realize. But guess what? How do they know your likes and your dislikes? How do they know what movies? It uses artificial intelligence,
okay,
right? And again, social media is another one.
Social media. When I come back, folks, we're going to wrap this up, my conversation with both Eric Barger and Pastor Billy Crone. They're both two of my five speakers coming up September 29th, Understanding the Times 2018. I'm coming back in just a minute or two. Don't go away.
The signs of the times are all around us, but many people are just living out their lives without noticing. Every week, we call your attention to those signs and how God is using these signs to prepare for His return. Thanks for joining us today.
We think it's the best advice we can give you every week. Our invitation to be sure to visit our website at olivetreeviews.org. You'll find our current radio broadcast. You'll also find information about our newsletter, our e-news blast, news headlines, and much more. For the best resource, the latest information to help you understand our times, click on to olivetreeviews.org. On Saturday, September 29th, olivetreeviews.org will also be the place to go to watch a live stream of our fall conference at no cost to you. For more information about this listener-supported broadcast ministry, call 763-559-4444. Or write to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Billy, Eric, and Jan will return right after this.
I am so pleased that this ministry is carrying the new book titled, Can We Still Believe in the Rapture? The co-authors are Dr. Ed Heinzen and Dr. Mark Hitchcock. I did not think I would ever have to ask such a question, but today many churches marginalize this message. Many scoff and mock about the glorious good news that the King is coming again, and perhaps today. Check it out in our web store at olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Monday through Friday and order it by phone, 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444 Central Time. We'll be in our print and e-newsletter. Sign up online. Look for Can We Still Believe in the Rapture? We want you to rejoice in the hope of His return, and this new publication will help you do just that. Things are all falling into place, We want you to look up and know that his return is right at the door.
So the fear that the thing is smart enough to start thinking on its own, you know, the paperclip problem is you tell it to make as many paperclips as possible and it sees your attempt to turn it off or reprogram it as an obstacle to making paperclips and liquidating the universe. But what we've got is a baby version. The algorithms causing us to become addicted to our phones and to do damage to our lives is AI.
Understanding the Times Radio continues with Eric Barger and Pastor Billy Crone. Here to wrap up today's discussion on artificial intelligence, Jan Markell.
We live in the United States of surveillance, with cameras like these increasingly positioned on street corners and with much more invisible spying online and on the phone. Anyone who's paying attention knows that privacy could be out the window. That's what former newspaper editor Bill Kovich says.
I think the idea of privacy is gone. I think you have to adjust to the fact that somebody somewhere may be watching what you're doing. And it may not be the government. It may be General Motors. It may be General Telephone and Telegraph. It may be the drugstore on the corner.
All of this is not happening by accident. Well-funded, powerful agencies and companies are engaged in the business of keeping tabs on what we do, what we say, and what we think.
Okay, welcome back. I'm wrapping up my hour with my two guests, Eric Barger and Pastor Billy Crone. They are two of my speakers at Understanding the Times 2018, along with Pastor Jack Hibbs, Amir Sarfati, and Pastor J.D. Farag. And they'll all be gathering, as will I, Saturday, September 29th, Grace Church. There are a few tickets left in the chapel, and you might want to just live stream it. I don't want to belabor that, but since we're offering it at no cost, you just access olivetreeviews.org that day, Central Time. Keep that in mind, Central Time. Just a quick reminder, this program's always posted to my website, Saturday morning, olivetreeviews.org. You might want to just sign up for the oneplace.com mobile app, and it'll be downloaded for you every Saturday morning. And if you write to us, would you always tell us what station you're listening to? That helps tremendously. One quick announcement again, if you've got tickets you can't use, again, turn them into brush fire. 888-338-5338, 888-338-5338. Someone else would like to buy those prime seats. You might have them even up front, almost front row, and you can't attend. Turn them in. Someone else will get them. So, folks, you might still be checking brushfire.com or call that number for last-minute tickets. Gentlemen, quickly here, our time is waxing away here. This industry, some within the industry, Billy Crone, are actually saying that I've got some regret here because I didn't know that society could be destroyed. We've already talked about Elon Musk, who's giving out some warnings. He's not a Christian, but nonetheless, he's speaking as a scientist. So some are regretting that they've had a role in this.
They are, but then again, my thing is if you're so concerned about it and if you regret it, then how about help us out?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't seem like it's translating into a genuine concern. Even back with Tesla and Elon Musk, if you're concerned about AI, then why are you such a big promoter of it? And I realize that you want to do some limiting factors, but how about help us get educated on what's going on? Even people that buy a Tesla car, do they really understand how much that vehicle is relying on artificial intelligence technology? Basically, where's the transparency? We mentioned earlier with all the different avenues that people, again, 63% don't even know they're using artificial intelligence technologies. Why aren't these companies and these entities who say they regret this, why aren't you saying, all right, we need to do full disclosure? If you're using Gmail, you're involved in that. Facebook, involved in that. Google, involved in that. Amazon, involved in that. Even, again, back to Tesla, involved in that. In fact, Tesla vehicles, with their artificial intelligence, they can actually be updated in real time with the vehicle. Do people even realize this? So I get it that they feel regret. But I'm just wondering, why isn't it translating into changed behavior?
Mm-hmm.
And behavior that's positive for what you say is regrettable, unleashing this technology, to equipping the rest of us to realize what is really going on, what's the real danger here, so we can make our own, no pun intended, intelligent choice.
All right. Eric, you had a quote by Eric Schmidt that was fascinating.
I do. He's the former CEO of Google, really the one who made Google who they are. He wouldn't have said this when he was in that seat with Google, but he said at a BBC gathering, or a gathering put together by the BBC at the London Science Museum, this was in January of 2018, he said, "I think both Russian and Chinese leaders have recognized the value of this, not just for their commercial aspirations, but also their military aspirations." He said he's very concerned that Russia and China will use AI to conquer the world. That was the headline in the Daily Mail in England. So he's saying those kind of things. And let's remember, one of the reasons Google was founded was to further the cause of AI. They've said that. That's part of their mission statement, if you will. So there are some speaking out about it. Who knows what would happen if the terrorists would get a hold of AI and be able to understand what to do with it. If they have the kind of technology minds in the terrorist networks, that would be a scenario that would be beyond the pale for me. I can't quite fathom where that might
that's
go.
That's true, but the Antichrist will be a terrorist, and he's going to get a hold of it. One more topic I want to hit here before our time runs out, because I think Alex Jones, I'm not a fan of Alex Jones. I think he's a bit of a nut job, and he's conspiracy theorists and all that, but they're saying he was a sacrificial lamb. They went after him. They practically put him out of business. I'll play a real quick soundbite here of Tucker Carlson, then I want the three of us to discuss this.
Well, the tech giants see themselves as gatekeepers of the internet, and as such routinely engage in censorship of political speech they disagree with. In most cases, that affects conservatives, but non-mainstream liberals have been targeted too, especially those who express opposition to the Democratic establishment or to endless war. What are the boundaries of censorship once a company starts making decisions about what speech is permissible and which speech is not? Jesse Kelly is a Marine Corps combat veteran who has fought for free speech abroad. He is the host of the Jesse Kelly Radio Show in Houston, and he joins us tonight. Jesse, thank you very much for coming on. So you wrote this piece that I thought was really compelling about Alex Jones, and you said, look, I don't agree with Alex Jones's views, but that's not the point. The point, as you articulated, was if you can silence this guy because you don't like what he says, why can't they silence you or me?
That is the point, Tucker, and they're coming for you and me next. That Alex Jones was the weak member of the herd because of his insane views on certain things. They knew they could pick him off, and what he was a test run. If we can pick off this nut job, then maybe sooner or later we can come for the more mainstream voices on the right. This is not the social media, Facebook, Twitter, that's 2.5 billion people they reach. People have to understand it's no longer a couple of nerds sitting in a college dorm room swapping stories about a made-up girlfriend. It's real and it's powerful.
So I watched, feeling nauseous, as almost no figures on the, as you just said, mainstream right, rose to the defense of Alex Jones. Not defending what he said, but defending his right to say it. The most basic American principle. Why did they sit silently as this happened?
Because everybody wants to be the one that's eaten last, Tucker. They convince themselves in the interest of never having to have a fight that if the lion will just gorge himself on enough of those antelope, eventually he'll never come eat me. But that's not how it works. And it is, we're really whistling past the graveyard.
All right, gentlemen. Point being here, the information age, people who are being sacrificed for the information age. It could be us next, all right? Eric, it could be you and me. It could be Understanding the Times Radio.
Oh, yeah. There are reports that if you say favorable things about particular people or things out there, that you're the next one that's going to be limited in the search results. So who knows? Who knows what's next? But we just need to continue to trumpet the truth and try to warn people and also remind them that all that we're seeing happen today, without it happening. I'm talking about in the tech world. If this wasn't going on, then the thought of Antichrist showing up anytime soon would be just so remote, because he could never control the world without the use of this technology that's being developed today.
Thank you for that summation, Eric. Billy Crone, weigh into this.
Well, yeah, I think what's concerning, Jan, is most people don't realize is you're absolutely right. They could be next, and not just ministries, but even an individual. I call Facebook Tracebook. Again, it's not just involved with artificial intelligence, but any form of media, which is all basically electronic now, is being completely monitored, categorized, and dossier. Everything is being built on us. And at the powers that be, if they decide that you become the new definition of a terrorist or somebody that's unacceptable, et cetera, they have the power to shut you down, which you just not only lose free speech, but you become a non-entity. Now, what's concerning about that is most people don't realize that that's already going on, number one. Number two, back to the AI, there are actually people right now, I kid you not, look at the headlines, that they are saying that, hey, we really should look at AI controlling the governments. And so here you have an AI system that's monitoring everything we say and do and has the ability to shut us out if it wants, but now it's going to be in charge of the government? You talk about antichrist ripe scene. It's just, it's crazy. And it reminds me of the classic statement, what do we need to do? We need to get equipped and we need to be educated, right? What, remember this statement from Martin Niemöller? He said, first they came for the socialists and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews and I didn't speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and by that time there was no one left to speak for me. And it's the same thing. Well, I'm not into artificial intelligence. I'm not like Alex Jones. I don't need to worry about that. I don't have a radio program and ministry like Jan Markell. Listen, we better speak up now, because this is the tip of the iceberg. Eventually, they're going to come against anyone, including the individual, who does not do and does not think, speak, act, and behave the way this global government wants you to behave.
That's right. Gentlemen, I want to thank you so much. Folks, my two guests for the hour are going to be speaking on this topic, because they are related topics, Saturday, September 29th. The conference is 8:30 a.m. Central Time to 5 p.m. Central Time. If you would like CDs and DVDs, about a month later, we'll have five messages, Amir Sarfati, J.D. Farag, Jack Hibbs, Eric Barger, and Pastor Billy Crone. So if you'd like to live stream at olivetreeviews.org, no cost, just visit the website that day. We pray that all the technology works on that particular day as well. Folks, I'm out of time completely, but let me just borrow the words from the psalmist when he said in the Psalms. He said, I trust in you, O Lord, our times are in your hands. And honestly, if we didn't have that assurance, if we didn't have that comfort that God has everything under control, we could get very nervous about some of the things that are going on in this last generation. I want to thank you for listening, but we will talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Across America and across the World Wide Web, we continue to report current events from a biblical perspective. Every weekend, this broadcast comes to you at no cost, but it costs us thousands of dollars. As we produce and distribute this weekly media outreach, would you consider standing with us? With an ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to keep informed. They need to be aware of current events as viewed through the lens of Scripture. Week after week, Jan Markell brings you a compelling hour, pointing out the dangers in today's culture and bringing hope through faith in Jesus Christ. We're asking you to join us in this listener-supported ministry as our financial partner. Please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Contributions are also welcome at olivetreeviews.org. Or by phone when you dial 763-559-4444. Don't forget, global updates with a biblical worldview are yours around the clock at olivetreeviews.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon. We appreciate your continued prayer support for Jan and our media team. Jan Markell returns next week with another information and inspiration-packed hour designed to help you understand the times.